I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, a Chicago honor student beaten to death on the way home from school stirs the predictable outrage. But we want to know why this keeps happening, and what does the fact that this incident was filmed by a passerby say about our society? We'll talk about all of that in just a few minutes. But first, to Detroit, which is in a state of crisis. Mayor Dave Bing, a former NBA All-Star who is the city's fourth mayor in a little over a year, is confronting a massive $300 million deficit. A quarter of residents are unemployed, home prices are in free fall. And just this week, he announced more tough measures to try to staunch the financial hemorrhaging. Some 230 city workers will be laid off and bus service will be curtailed. The mayor is making the cuts less than 2 months before seeking election to a full term in November. Mayor Dave Bing joins us now on the line from Detroit. Welcome, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Thank you. Very well. Good being with you.
Now, when you ran, you knew things were bad. This week's layoff raises the total to more than 400 since you took office. How hard was it for you to make this decision?
Always difficult when you have to make decisions that will negatively impact someone's lifestyle. So it's not an easy decision, but once again, it's one that the city had to make, I had to make as a leader here. And I will continue looking at the things we need to do to put us on a solid financial ground.
We know it's complicated, but can you, just for those who haven't followed the situation closely, can you help people understand how the situation got so bad in Detroit? I mean, the auto industry, the turmoil in the auto industry has to be a part of it, but is that all of it?
No, it isn't. Detroit's been in a free fall in terms of loss of population for the last 10 to 20 years. And we haven't made the adjustments over on our revenue side, and our structural problems here in the city has not been addressed. So we've kept running the city as if we had 1.4 or 1.5 million residents, when in fact we're hovering around 900,000. So our revenue stream has dropped precipitously, and we just haven't done what we should have done to have a balanced budget.
You told the New York Times that Detroit has to focus on being the best 900,000 populated city we can be and stop thinking about we can turn back the clock to the 50s and 60s. You seem to be saying that those days of Detroit being, you know, the 11th largest city in the country are over. First of all, what would a smaller Detroit look like? And can you get people to envision that? You know, what would they do? Sort of move in closer, actually like close down certain neighborhoods, just get people to kind of move to an urban core? What do you do?
Well, you've answered the question that you ask, and that's exactly what the longer term plan is. But I think short term, we've got to make sure that we understand what city services we can provide for our citizens here. Affordability is something that's very, very important. And if you don't have the revenue to continue to do what you did when you had the revenue, you have to make hard choices. And I'm in a position today where I'm confronted with making those choices that should have been made a long time ago. But rather than stand on the sidelines and point fingers and lay blame, I've decided to get into this race. I've won 3 elections so far. I've got one more coming up in November. For the next 4 years. And we're not going to fix Detroit's problems in one term, in 4 years, but at least we can probably put ourselves on the right kind of track to make the decisions to stop the bleeding here.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with the mayor of Detroit, Dave Bing. You mentioned that you've won 3 elections so far, which is a complicated scenario, which we don't have sort of time to explain why you actually had to go through 3 elections so far. But I think many people will remember you as one of the NBA all-time greats. And you've had, in addition to that successful career, another successful career as a businessman. And some might want to know, why do you want this headache at this stage of your life?
One word, really, is because I care. I've been very fortunate in my life, especially my adult life here in the city of Detroit, to have some success. And just to rest on my laurels, things that I've been able to achieve in my life, is not enough for me, because there are too many people here that are suffering and are in pain, and it's not necessarily their fault. Our leadership has taken a lot of our folks down the wrong path. I feel that I've got into this race, I'm in this position for the right reason, and that is to be as helpful as I can be, helping to bring Detroit back to a city that it was a long time ago. It was a great city, It can be again, but it won't be based on 1.8 million or 1.5 million people. People are not going to come back and live in the city based on what we have to offer today. So we've got to make a lot of basic changes here and do the things that are necessary so folks want to be here, folks want to visit with us, folks want to live here, folks want to play here. And there are a lot of changes that need to happen to entice people to do those things.
What are those changes?
Well, I think first thing, you've got to have a stable economy. Yes, we've been hurt by the automotive industry, but we have been changing over the last several years not to be a one-horse town, if you will. We are still going to be dominated, I think, by the auto industry, but our healthcare industry is growing at a very, very rapid rate, over double-digit increases on an annualized basis and projected to continue to do that. We're one of few cities with four professional sports teams. We are one of few cities that has, casino gaming and the new hotels that go along with that. There are a lot of good things that are happening here, but most people don't talk about them. People just kind of latch on to the negative things that have happened. And if we continue down that road, that's the wrong message for our citizens here.
In addition to reducing the size of Detroit's footprint, if you will, another sensitive issue you have raised is that of some sort of shared governance or connection of the city of Detroit with its suffering but more affluent suburbs. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Detroit is surrounded in a 25 or 30 mile radius with very wealthy neighbors. A lot of those folks were former Detroiters, people who moved out of Detroit over the years for a lot of different reasons. They have an attachment to Detroit, and we've not tapped into that. And that's a mistake I think we've made by trying to look at ourselves in a vacuum, making decisions that only impacts Detroit. I think we got to look at ourselves as a total region and not just the city of Detroit. So I've built relationships over a long period of time with our surrounding neighborhoods and counties, and I think this is the time for us to come together and see how we can share some of the successes that they have had with things that we need to do here in Detroit. So shared services are something that I think is big. We don't have to continue to spend the kind of money that we spend on an independent basis. So I'm talking to a lot of the leadership right now in our surrounding counties, and people are being receptive to that, and that's going to be helpful to us over the long haul.
That was going to be my next question, which is that, what's the word I'm looking for, animosity, if you want to call it that, or lack of interest in a shared destiny has been a two-way street, as of course you know, and of course it's complicated by racial politics, as so many things are. Is there an interest in the suburbs in sharing the fate of Detroit?
Absolutely, because if Detroit fails or continues to have the problems that we're having, it's going to have a negative impact on our surrounding communities. I think they understand that. The same thing is true for the state. Detroit still is the 11th largest city in the country. It is the largest city in the state of Michigan. And if we continue to have problems here, it's going to impact in a negative way both the state and our surrounding communities here in southeastern Michigan.
What can the rest of the country do to be helpful to Detroit?
We're not going with our hat in our hand begging. There are things that we have to do for ourselves. Like, once again, understand that we can't run the city like it was run 20 years ago. We got to make some changes, structural changes. We got way too many departments here in the city of Detroit. There are things that we provide for our citizens that are uncompetitive. And we've got to make sure that we, from a business standpoint, let the business community understand how important they are, because they are the job creators, not city government. And my problem here, the biggest problem that I have, is convincing the city workers that I don't just represent them. I represent the 900,000 people here in the city of Detroit. And every decision that I make, I have to keep that at the forefront and not really just look at union representation, city employees. So it's not an easy job. I knew it going in. It wasn't going to be easy. It's not a popular job because you got nothing to do but make tough decisions right now. But if you don't make the tough decisions now, I don't know what our future is going to look like. So I'm doing what I think is right and what I need to do.
Just briefly, Mr. Mayor, if I can ask you this. I was looking at the comments that attended to the piece that was written about you and the city by the New York Times last week, and many comments from around the country saying, bravo, it's about time there was a political leader who, you know, tells the truth, makes the hard decision, doesn't complain, gets the job done. Most of those, though, were not from Detroit. Most of those people making those comments were not from Detroit. How do you think this tough love message, if you will, is being received?
I don't get overly concerned. I didn't do this to be popular. I'm not worried about a popularity contest. The children and the grandchildren of a lot of the seniors here in the city right now, their future is dependent upon decisions that have to be made today. And they're not easy decisions. They're not popular decisions, but something that I'm going to have to stand up to. And I'm ready to make those hard choices.
And speaking of a hard choice, Mr. Mayor, finally, the Lions take on the Bears this Sunday. Do you care to make a prediction?
No predictions. I am a football fan. I happen to have been born and raised in Washington, D.C., so, you know, I've been in Detroit for the last 43 years, so I was favoring the Lions, no doubt about it. But with Chicago, that's a city that Detroit has fought against across the board in every sport. But they've got a good franchise. They are better than we are today, and we're going to have to play one of our best games to be competitive against the Bears.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Dave Bing is the mayor of Detroit. He was kind enough to join us from his office. Thank you for speaking with us, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you so very much.